Steve, thanks. It's Bill Leff and it's Wendy Snyder. Today should be interesting. Is that an understatement?
It's going to be interesting, completely interesting. Mm-hmm. I'm kind of glad to be on the air during this. Mm-hmm.
I love this day.
Do you?
I know
absolutely.
You do.
Absolutely. Yes, I do. And, you know, just to see the people gathering, and at the point I made during the newscast, America voted against all these people at the Capitol right now.
Correct.
I mean, this was an anti-establishment election.
Yeah.
And so now we have the establishment gathering, and we'll be standing on either side of the aisle. Alongside President-elect Trump, you know, Bob Dole is there, Newt Gingrich, the former speaker, former Presidents Carter and Clinton and George W. Bush, Hillary Clinton joking with George W. Bush and former First Lady Laura Bush there.
Yeah.
You know, this is we don't have royalty or we don't have royal events in this country, but perhaps this is the closest thing to that.
All right. May I ask you, with what you just said about how America voted anti-establishment, and yet there is the establishment gathered together for today's proceedings, do they know? Do they care? I mean, if you're them, you say to yourself, what we just witnessed was a large percentage of the American population saying, we're sick of the way things have been done, so sick that we're going to go to the extreme of bringing in Donald Trump to be the president of the United States. So if you're all those dignitaries that you just mentioned, do you say to yourself, is this the beginning of the end for the way we've done business for so long?
Probably not. I mean, they've still got the best seats.
There's
so,
that.
And we'll see if things change and, you know, if there's a different crowd there 4 years from now. But,
yeah.
I mean, it's only natural that this is who would be there. It's just
peaceful
there's just
transition.
An irony to it.
It has to happen.
You know, and just the whole, the ceremony of it, of the president-elect and first lady going to the White House for the coffee, the outgoing president welcoming him, and President Obama and Mrs. Obama were presented earlier today with the flags that flew over the White House on their first day in office and today their last.
Mm-hmm.
Just all of those things. And the president will leave a little bit later this afternoon with his family and go to Palm Springs, California, clear out for a bit while the new president, Donald Trump, celebrates and enjoys his inauguration.
Why do they always have tea? I hate tea.
Or coffee. You can have coffee if you want.
But they specifically, and most of the reports, you know, the president's had tea this morning.
It's a tradition. They don't have Danishes, though, because it's all American food
right.
in the White House.
Take that, Kanye West.
Right.
I would ask for Yoo-Hoo. I would say in the past it's been coffee and tea, but I enjoy the rich, chocolatey taste of a Yoo-Hoo. So I wonder if that would happen.
I had always pictured it as just the four of them, and I guess that's not correct. There were congressional leaders
right.
From either side. Because just imagine if you – I mean, I'm not very good at small talk. If you have to kill 30 minutes, you know, these two guys who had really been at each other for years.
I don't see either of them having trouble, quite honestly.
No.
Because Barack could talk to anyone, and so can Donald Trump, really.
But there'd be wait, before I say this, I need to preface this. I've wondered if there's ever been a time with those two gentlemen, with Mr. Obama and Mr. Trump, that it's just been the two of them. If there's just been a room where it's just the two of them and nobody else, because that would be an awkward conversation.
I think there probably has, Bill.
Has there been, do you think?
I would be surprised if there hasn't.
Yeah.
Their first meeting maybe, or their second, if they didn't have some one-on-one quiet time.
But let's say there was somebody who spent years and years and years bad-mouthing you, questioning your moves, questioning the legitimacy of your presidency. How do you not bring that up? How do you not go, well, you know, really, you've really given me a rough ride here for the past several years.
When they go low, you go high.
Well, that's the question, whether in those times alone, if they said, what was this about or what was that? I would imagine probably not.
But
they were tough. You know, I mean, go back to that gridiron dinner when Barack Obama was, you know, ridiculing Trump or making.
And he just had that stone look on his face.
Right.
Like what are you doing?
Who would have thought then, you know, that they would be here now?
Right.
All right. So 11 o'clock is when the inauguration actually commences, correct?
Well, the vice president elect. Pence will take the oath a little bit before 11 o'clock. But President elect Trump expected about 11 or a couple of minutes after.
How old is Barron? Ballpark?
Around 10.
Yeah, that's what I'd heard 10 before. I don't know. He's pretty young.
I feel sorry for him in this hoopla. I really do.
How come?
Because young boys are awkward at that age. And Sasha and Malia, I know, were quite young when President Barack Obama took the oath of office. But girls can fake it better than young boys. Well, I really
he's
feel bad
stay,
for him.
He'll be in New York, so it'll be, you know, different for him.
He but I mean, even Washington. Today with all this stuff.
You know, I don't want to make too much of anything because we're just seeing snippets of video. But as you were saying that, you know, the Trump kids were there and they were all talking to other people and Barron was kind of off on his own. He walked in behind the other four sort of in a solo column of his own. So, yeah, I mean,
that's
you know,
what I mean, though.
It's a melded family in many ways, so it probably will be difficult for him.
And as the mother of two boys, boys are a little more socially awkward than girls are.
Right.
And especially at that age.
Right.
He's got no one to talk to.
There's, yeah, I guess.
I feel sorry for him.
I respect that. It must be very, very difficult to know that no matter what you say or do, you're going to be scrutinized by everybody. And, you know,
although he already would have been, you know, as
right.
being Donald Trump's son.
Yeah, no question about that.
But, history in the making.
But usually with a 10-year-old, you could give them like a handheld video game or something to play with.
And everybody would criticize him
right.
if that's what he was doing right,
right
now.
If he was texting or if he was playing some video game during this, people would rip him to shreds and they'd say, what kind of parents let their kids do this during an inauguration? So you have to just do what I think a lot of people are doing there today, which is have a painted smile on your face and pretend like you're happy with what's going on.
How many painted smiles are there? And, you know, goes back to Bill Clinton and Hillary Clinton. And, well, I mean, really, there are plenty on either side of the aisle. This, you know, this is, in my lifetime, the most remarkable ascendancy to power that I've ever seen. And, you know, maybe in the history of this country, people talk about Andrew Jackson, but Andrew Jackson was a military hero.
Right.
He had some background in government or in the establishment. Donald Trump did not. He had none. And
never ran for anything,
and
never served
is,
an office of any kind.
It is a unique event. It's a one of a kind.
So, Steve, going forward, because we saw, well, this is a two-part question. Going forward, what sorts of people do you think will run for the presidency? I mean, we had a couple of business people this time around. We had a heart surgeon this time around. We had people that normally, as we said, it's usually politicians or political figures from the military, but not this time around. And also, what could possibly be divulged about a candidate that would really make a difference? This time around, we had so many things that we learned about Donald Trump particularly, that it didn't seem to harm him at all.
I think that is where we will have made the biggest change, because, you know, there were in the past the smallest sort of little scandal would sink a person, and not just the guy running for president, but people nominated for, you know, Zoe Baird was Bill Clinton's first nominee for attorney general, and she didn't pay the nanny tax, and she was sunk.
That was the end of her.
That pales in comparison with, you know, what we've moved to now. So, and maybe in some ways that's a good thing, because, you know, a little nick shouldn't be enough to kill you, I don't think.
One little nick.
One little
many.
Nick.
Oh, ABC News is showing little Nick right now. He's at the ceremony. Looks fantastic.
Here you can hear now they're about to introduce, I believe, Michelle Obama and Dr. Biden as well.
But they're showing Bernie Sanders right now.
Ladies and gentlemen, the First Lady, Mrs. Michelle Obama, and the wife of the Vice President, Dr. Jill Biden, escorted by the Democratic Staff Director of the United States Senate Committee on Rules and Administration, Kelly Fado, Miss Irish Weinshall, and Mr. Paul Pelosi.
So there you go. How would you like to have that on your business card?
That would be a lot to put on a business card.
Yeah, anyway, so I'll continue to follow it here
and
drop in from time to time. But,
please do.
Which network are you watching it on?
I'm watching the WGN Radio Network.
We have it on the Sci-Fi Channel, and it's been fantastic so far. All right, let's do this. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back. We've got inauguration coverage from Washington. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. It's inaugural day. I'm Bill. That's Wendy. We will cover it here for you all day long on WGN Radio. They just showed Melania Trump, who's wearing...
by the Secretary of the Senate, Julie Adams.
I'm sorry. I thought we were going to get the introduction there. They're just introducing Melania Trump now as she makes her way out.
Wearing a very lovely powder blue dress.
It's a Ralph Lauren.
Ralph Lauren. and they always say, in a case like this, well, look for them to sell a lot of those dresses in the upcoming weeks. I never know if that's true. Do you now want to wear the dress that people will go, oh, yeah, we saw that on TV a couple of weeks ago. That's
yeah, but nice. Who can afford it?
There was a hat that was worn by someone during maybe the second or first Obama inaugural. And,
yeah.
And it was by Aretha Franklin, I think. She sang.
Oh, yes.
And she wore a hat, and the hat just took off.
People bought hundreds or thousands of the hats?
I don't know how many, but they bought more than they were going to before they saw her singing in it.
Beautiful. You said Ralph Lauren?
Yeah.
Powder blue suit with a shawl collar. She looks amazing in it. Yeah, I don't know if a lot of women would look great in it.
I don't want to quibble. I'm going to go more Robin's Egg.
Oh, would you over powder blue?
Over powder
blue. All right. Would either of you buy
Steve.
Periwinkle?
No, that's not Perry. That has more purple in it.
Right.
No, your colors. Bertrand and I are into colors.
Well, you guys had the big box of crayons. We're poor people.
I had 72.
We just had four.
That's sad.
I only had four crayons. So.
Yeah, but you got to go to Bozo.
Right.
Speaking of which.
That's the compensation.
You know who we're talking to later on this afternoon.
Yes. Seriously, if you're so afraid of clowns, it's not even funny. Bello Nock will join us at 1:35 to talk about the closing of the Ringling Brothers Circus. He is, in my opinion, with the exception, of course, of Hometown's Bozo, the finest clown that's ever been. This guy was amazing.
What I like about Bello is he doesn't wear makeup.
Mm-hmm.
And that, I don't know what it is. I like to see people's actual face.
Yeah.
I don't like to see it covered up. I don't like mascot animals. I need to see them. He's got the crazy hair, which, you know, I wore my hair like that in the 80s.
Yeah, big giant stack of hair.
So that's why I really like him. But he is fantastic. And thankfully, when I took the kids to see the Barnum and Bailey and Ringling and... Brothers and
everybody involved in the name.
He was with the circus, and it was really amazing to see him in action.
He's really good, and he knows the history of clowns and mimes and that sort of thing. I've talked to him before. He's fascinating, so he'll be with us at 1:35, and Kurt Wagner to talk TV later on in the show, too.
Real quickly, before we take a break and do some news, sportsinsights.com has put together Donald Trump inauguration props, prop bets.
Yeah.
So we don't have a lot of time, but I want to see who thinks how long the speech is going to be.
Looks like about 20 minutes, Wendy.
Really? Okay, so under 10 minutes, 6-1.
I would say over 10 minutes for sure.
20 to 22 minutes, 11-2 odds that that's going to happen. 22 minutes and 30 seconds or longer, 7-1. I'm going over 22. I think it's going to go longer. He's got the spotlight and
That's
likes the spotlight.
I would bet closer to 20 would be about, and that's the standard, isn't it, Steve? Usually on a day like today, on an inaugural day, the president usually clocks in somewhere around 20 minutes. Is that about right?
I don't know the answer to that, Bill. There is an average. I don't know what.
Well,
it
George
is.
Bush's first speech lasted 14 minutes, while his second lasted 21 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Barack Obama's first speech lasted about 21 minutes. His second one lasted about 15. You saw pictures of Donald Trump writing his speech on his own.
If we can go back now to the Capitol, here is Hail to the Chief being played for the last time for Barack Obama. President Obama just introduced. He is making his way down with the vice president and actually ruffles and flourishes, I think, there for President Obama as he makes his way to the spot now greeting the Trump children. And next, the president-elect and vice president-elect to be introduced as we begin the ceremony in about 4 or 5 minutes from now.
Steve, there's a woman that's accompanied the Trump children through most of today. Every time they show the Trump kids, there's a lady next to them. Do we know who that lady is, a dark-haired woman?
I'm sorry, I don't, Bill.
Haven't
I don't
seen
know
her?
Who it is.
Okay.
No. It looks like kind of funny. I'm watching now George W. Bush sort of heckling President Obama.
Right, I'm watching it.
From about 15 feet away. So they're exchanging a couple of jokes. Probably, you know, George W. was the last to relinquish on a day like today. And he's probably telling President Obama just how nice it's going to feel in about 30 minutes.
And Jimmy Carter and Michelle Obama just shared a kiss. It was really beautiful.
Yeah.
He looks older, but he's got that sweet smile that he always had.
Yeah. But not. I did not see Rosalind Carter alongside of him. I'm curious as to why that would be.
I think her health has not been great.
Oh, is that true?
So
I didn't know that.
I don't know the answer to that.
And normally, the first George Bush and Barbara would be there, but of course, because of their illnesses, that's preventing them from being there today.
Correct.
And Steve, I looked up, I don't know if you guys remember, but about a week ago I had said, I believe that when Donald Trump becomes president, we will have five former presidents still alive at the same time, a total of six presidents, and I think that's the record.
It ties the record,
I looked it up, too, and it does. It ties a record that's happened, I think, three times in the past with five former presidents and one living president all at the same time.
There were 7-1 odds that Melania would be wearing a blue dress.
That one couldn't be more accurate.
Yeah, and the color of his tie, Donald Trump's tie...
My guess would be, well, they're showing him, so it's not fair.
Oh, I just saw him now. I would have guessed blue, because that's what he always wears. And blue is 3-1 odds. It is, in fact, red, 6-4 odds. I don't know what odds mean. I'm just reading what I got from sportsinsights.com.
It's sort of an awkward, it's an awkward walk. These guys have to walk through the Capitol and then down some steps, and you can hear the footsteps as if they're horse hooves.
Yeah.
Because no one's talking. It's silent except for the sound of the
Why
footsteps.
Is that, Steve? It seems very solemn, almost morose. Why is
Paul
why?
Ryan is smiling. Yeah. Donald Trump is grimacing more than I've seen him before.
Yeah. Okay, listen closely. You can hear as they get closer, the music starts to come up.
He's nervous, it appears.
You think?
Donald
yeah.
Trump pausing now, and his introduction will be next. He, I think he just... posed for the camera there a little bit. Did it look like he looked to the camera and sort of gave it a
Yeah, there was a second gap there, yeah.
He looks very nervous to me, you guys.
Well, I hope he is. Who
yep.
wouldn't be?
I know. The enormity of all of it is hitting
maybe
him
setting
now.
In now.
And you know,
the Vice President-elect Michael Richard Pence.
I mean, you know, you've done so many things where you fought for or worked for a long time, and then they happen and you look back. I mean, that's nothing compared
right.
to what he's been through.
CNN last night, Steve, they were asking when it really sets in, and the people all agreed that it's the night before the inauguration when they give them the codes, when you say to yourself, wow, this is real.
Right.
They're giving me all these secret codes, and you keep a card of, evidently, the president keeps a card in his pocket at all times with all the most important code numbers.
What if somebody mugs him and takes the codes?
Well, I guess there's always...
Are they encrypted?
I think the chances of being mugged are pretty small. Mike Pence now making his way down. Toward the rostrum here, he will take the oath of office first. The ceremony formally begins about, I think it's set for 10:30, so just a couple of minutes from now, and that likely will be when marked when Donald Trump, the president-elect, takes office. Dan Quayle, former vice president,
oh,
with
yeah.
a hug
oh,
there.
Yeah. Haven't seen him in a while.
Fellow Hoosier, Mike Pence and Dan Quayle, both from Indiana. So
let's squeeze in a break here. We'll come back with Steve's news, and we have you covered today with all the inaugural events. It's WGN. Thank you, Steve. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. It's Inauguration Day, and we just got a text. I wonder if there's a station where I can listen to the inauguration without the radio characters yapping all over it.
Yeah, cut it out, radio characters.
We are going to bring you the speech in its entirety, the swearing-in, at 11 o'clock this morning. Right
and
now,
we will also swear here in the studio while that's going on.
Yeah, but not on the air.
There's a series of invocations going on now. Cardinal Dolan spoke just a few minutes ago. Now Reverend Rodriguez is talking, and music coming up, and then the vice presidential oath about 15 minutes or so from now.
If we could go back to these prop bets, I'm not a gambling woman, but sportsinsights.com put this together.
You asked me an interesting question off air. You said, are these legit? Could a person really wager actual money on these? And the answer to that is yes.
I'm very naive about betting.
You can bet on it. It's similar to what happens on Super Bowl Sunday, where you don't just bet on the game. You can bet on, you know, 50 or 60 other things, how long the national anthem will take, all those things. They don't let you bet a lot on those. They limit the amount. Like, if you wanted to bet on the score of the game, the over and under, that kind of thing, the sky's the limit. But with these bets, with prop bets, they always put a limit on it because a person could manipulate them. There's ways to manipulate these.
I guess if you have Donald Trump's cell phone and you want to find out when in the speech he's going to say, "Make America Great Again."
Yeah,
because there's
can do that.
Bets on that. Trump's motto, "Make America Great Again," has its own hat and now its own prop. Further down, you'll see phrases listed 2-1. That's later. Let me just say, when you think after the applause has stopped, that's when the timing begins.
Mm-hmm.
And when do you think he's going to say, "Make America Great Again"? For the first time, between 0 and 4 minutes and 59 seconds, those are 4-1 odds.
Mm-hmm.
5 minutes to 9 minutes, 59 seconds, 4-1 odds on that. 10 minutes in to almost 15 minutes in, a 10-3 odds. 15 minutes or later, or does not say the phrase in the speech, he's going to say it.
Yeah, right.
I'd say it in the first 5 minutes.
Meant a lot to him. Yeah. You know, something along the lines of, we said months ago we were going to make America great again.
Yeah, it's got to come out.
You say it early on, I think, right.
All right, so if I bet $20 with 4-to-1 odds and I was right, what do I...
$80.
How do I make a bet?
Well, you
can't. Is this
now,
where it starts?
I'm sure they cut it off because so many of these, like the what color tie is he wearing, what color dress is Melania wearing, those have already been answered. So a lot of times they'll cut this off. Probably last night or early this morning. There's a window where it's over already.
All right, let me talk about the viewers. Most of the nation will be at work during the inauguration, but there is still expected to be a large number of viewers. President Obama commanded an audience of 37.9 million viewers for his first inauguration that fell to 20.2 million the second time
around. Wow, that's quite a drop-off.
So they want to know if you think it's going to be under 20 million. This applies to the average number of USA viewers of Trump's inauguration.
All networks included, right?
As determined by Nielsen Research.
Okay.
Bets void if data not released in 2017. So under 20 million is 6-to-1 odds. Now remember, 37.9 million was Barack Obama's first one.
Yeah.
I think people's curiosity... or peaked.
I would imagine that with presidents, that first inauguration is probably the one that makes people more curious, and this obviously is his first. I would say it would have to be over 20, I would think.
40 million or higher, 4-to-1 odds.
I don't think
is 40
million.
Is he going to beat Barack Obama's 37?
No, I would say not. I'm guessing not.
I'm going to guess he will.
You think? Yeah, really? All right.
Bill, I follow him on Twitter. I'm not a huge fan of his, but yeah. I want to know what's going on with the world secrets.
There's... Well, you also have, hold on, Kev, just a second. You have he's so hard to predict, right? So maybe there's that factor of let's just watch just to see what he says, because this is a guy that
curiosity,
could potentially
yeah.
say anything. Yeah, Kev?
Well, I was just going to say there's already photos coming out like comparing Obama's first inauguration versus, you know, Trump's today.
People-wise?
For the crowd?
People-wise, crowd-wise, and it's no comparison whatsoever.
There were a lot more
with
President Obama.
President Obama, yeah.
Really? Looks like a lot of people to me, but I don't count.
They're showing the long version, and the ground is covered in a sort of a white tarpaulin, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm no expert. We'll get counts probably from the Park Service a little bit later. There's quite a bit of white showing.
More than the Cubs convention or parade, because wasn't that the largest assemblance of people?
Yeah, the Cubs rally was the largest.
Trump, I can't find it right now because I can't Google and talk.
Oh.
But there was a funny quip from President-elect Donald Trump who they commented on it raining, and he said, well, then people will be able to see that my hair is real. I thought that was very funny.
One little, I don't even want to say it, but one little note Ryan Burrow just passed on from ABC. The designated survivor today is Jay Johnson, the Secretary of Homeland Security. So, they always have one person that should there be catastrophe who would be equipped to run the government. And it's Jay Johnson today, which, for his part, he's staying warm and dry. There's some rain moving into the area as well, so he's spared that.
And would you want to be that person? I sure wouldn't. Oh, my God, it's going to be on me?
They don't know this until day of, right, Steve? They're just told just before an event who they are. They don't have any planning time or anything like that. They're told that day, right? If the show with Kiefer Sutherland is accurate, that's what we learned on that show anyway.
Well, you go by that then. I don't know any differently.
All right.
Some of these are really stupid, these prop bets. Like, what A-listers have tickets to the show? When Barack Obama was first sworn in, there were several celebrity guests, including Samuel L. Jackson, Tiger Woods, Dustin Hoffman, Tom Hanks, Oprah, of course, Beyonce, and Steven Spielberg.
Mm-hmm.
And now there are odds that this person, this celebrity, must be shown on live TV during the inauguration ceremony.
Does it list the names?
Yeah. Who will attend? All Hulk Hogan, 3-to-1.
That's possible.
He's a supporter.
I guess.
Kanye West, 3-to-1 odds.
I wonder with Kanye West, because if I'm him, I'm a little bitter because of the discussion that he's not a traditional American singer to perform at the inaugural. So I wonder if he doesn't hold a little bit of a grudge.
He might be. Mike Tyson, 10-to-3 odds that he will be shown on TV. Dennis Rodman. Again, 10-to-3 odds. These are supporters of his.
I know they are.
What are the odds of the Missouri State Corral?
Well, here's the
high odds on them.
Here's the big one, Steve. Meryl Streep is listed as 33-1 odds.
Meryl Streep will not be there.
Kim Kardashian, 40-1.
If there's a camera there, she's there.
John Oliver, 50-1. Lady Gaga, 66-1 odds. Bruce Springsteen, 100-1 odds.
Yeah.
Bono, 200-1 odds.
Bono won't be there.
Schwarzenegger, 16-1 odds that he'll be there. He has to be shown on live TV. I think I have one more thing about the prop bets that it's too late to go, but they're fun to talk about.
Sure.
So 312-981-7200 is the number to call. We will be running the inauguration, the inaugural speech at 11 o'clock. We are not going to interject. It's not going to be like Mystery Science Theater 3000, is it?
No, despite our begging that we be able to do that, it will not be like that.
All right. So we go to Steve Bertrand in the newsroom right now for an update.
I'm just we're following it. The Missouri State University Corral has just completed, and we're coming up now on the oath of office for Vice President-elect Trump. Vice President-elect Mike Pence, the former governor of Indiana. That oath will be administered by Justice Clarence Thomas. So we're standing by for that, and that should be coming up in just a few minutes. Let's take a break here on 720 WGN.
And Steve Bertrand is in the newsroom. We are monitoring the inauguration of Donald Trump, and Vice President-elect Mike Pence will be sworn in shortly. That's my understanding. We will be covering the entire event starting at 11 o'clock, uninterrupted. So you can listen to it there.
Mm-hmm.
We were talking about the attendance, and Steve, feel free to break in whenever you need to. Attendance of the event will be based on the Washington Post's estimate. Obama's first inauguration drew approximately 1.8 million people, mm-hmm. while his second one was around 1 million. Bush drew 300,000 for his first, 400,000 for his second.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, it is.
I mean, one declined and one rose.
Right, but his first was very controversial in itself. You know, that was after the recount in Florida and all of that.
Yeah.
Usually the second is shorter than or smaller than the first.
Yeah.
All right. So Obama's first inauguration, 1.8 million people. The odds of Trump's inauguration ceremony and the estimate given by the Washington Post, 700 to 899,000 people, 2-1 odds. 900 to just under a million, 5-2 odds. A million to 1.25 million, 11-4 odds.
So the odds are favoring, their guess is, a smaller crowd.
Yes, yeah. Than Barack Obama.
Interesting. Yeah, I could see that. I would imagine that's the case.
This is in attendance. The viewers, I think, is going to be higher
you
than
do?
Obama's.
Yeah. Hmm.
Attendance, I don't know. I have no comment. And finally, which of these words or phrases will Donald Trump say first? He must say the exact word or phrase during an inauguration speech for a bet to be a winner.
Oh, this is my favorite one so far. What are the words?
Make America great again, 2-1 odds. That's the first one out of all these that he said.
Just that he will just say it at some point during his speech.
Before these particular ones that I have on the list.
Okay.
Job creation is another one at 3-1 odds.
Mm-hmm.
Islamic terrorism, 10-3 odds.
Mm-hmm.
Do we need the odds or should I just go through what he might be saying?
Do them with the odds.
Innovation, 4-1 odds that he will say that before anything else.
Now, have I missed it? Is that a word that he
huge or very or extremely should
right.
be on here, and I don't see that.
And Bill and Wendy, we have a new president. Donald Trump is now the 45th president of the United States.
It's official.
Orange is
the new president.
He's not looking so orange today.
Not today.
I will tell you, when we heard the Mormon Tabernacle Choir singing.
Yeah.
I was covered in goosebumps, and I got very...
That's a rash, by the way, Wendy.
No, it isn't.
It's not?
And I was a little weepy.
Were you a little weepy?
I don't know what it is. I get like that at parades when I see the flag and I hear the band playing. I tear up.
Well,
I think it's just patriotism in general. You can't help it. No matter what your political affiliation is, no matter how you feel about this new president, to watch this in our country, and it happens every 4 years, the peaceful transition of power... The love people have for this country, you can't help but feel pride.
I do feel pride in this country. And, you know, Bill and I were sitting here watching the speech in its entirety. And hopefully, listeners, you were listening to it on the radio. And I mean, how can you not like what he was saying? How could you not be supportive of what he was saying? But well, how is he going to achieve all these things?
The speech that he gave was a good speech. And actually, the one thing that wasn't on that list of prop bets is, will Donald Trump stick to the script or will he vary off? He was wise to stick to the script.
Totally.
Very wise to stick to the script.
I'm shocked. I'm a little shocked.
If you listen to the speeches that have been made on Inauguration Day, and I'll go back my entire lifetime to every one of them I've ever heard, they're versions of what you heard today. America's a great place, but it could be even better. We've got to all stick together.
It's you for you, the people.
Right.
But the people have spoken. They're sick of, you know, government.
The traditional establishment government.
Yes.
Right. So it always looks good on this day to, you know, it's opening day of baseball,
yeah,
when every team has a chance to be the World Series champion. It's that, but in the political arena. So yeah, let's hope some, you're not going to get everything that he just told us. That's impossible. Let's hope some of it comes true. Let's hope.
Everybody gets to start with a clean slate.
Sure.
You know what?
Absolutely.
They all get their chance.
312-981-7200. We're going to take a break. We're going to do some news with Kim, and then we're here for you. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder, 720 WGN. Thank you, Kim. Great job. All right, Bill. We have a new president.
There is a new president. I saw it on the TV. So what are your thoughts? What are your reactions to what you just saw and heard? Are you buying it? Are you not buying it? Do you have the same sweeping feel of patriotism that Wendy and Steve Bertrand just came in here and said pretty much the same thing you said?
It was a good speech. You can't deny it.
It was a good speech, but I think, you know, he is the president because he has convinced America to not be jaded by the politics that you've seen in the past. Don't be fooled by the politics you've seen in the past. And he gave basically the same speech that every incoming president has given. And you have to say, we're good. We could be better. The past was the past. I'm going to give you a brighter future. And, you know, let's hope that happens.
That's all we have, Bill, is hope. I'm glad he didn't get snarky. I was worried.
He did not get snarky.
I was worried about that.
He did not vary from the script at all. And I don't know who told him to do that, but good.
Yeah.
Because that's where the problems are, is when he goes off book. That's when things get dicey. He didn't do that today.
He's not a good improver.
I don't know that he is.
All right. So I thought the speech was a good speech. That's my own personal opinion. I just want to see what he said come to fruition. And Joe, talk to us.
Thanks for taking my call. Let's look at tomorrow. America is being run now by successful businessmen, not just Trump. Everybody else that he's put in power. Wealthy people who know how to run business. My opinion, and a lot of people, America's a business. China's a business. Russia's a business. The whole world is one big business. All they've touted is this one world of business. We have to be a successful business in this world. You've got the right people running the show now. And now they're going to say, well, these guys are going to make decisions to make them richer. I hope they do, because then that's going to make us richer. That means that there's more jobs, that their companies are successful. I mean, it's unbelievably tremendous. I think today's the greatest day I've ever in my life. The other thing he mentioned the word gangs. In Chicago, our great police chief knows who the 1,000 gang leaders are. He rounds these guys, leaders up before major holidays, and the murder rate goes down during those holidays, and they let them go. When they commit a gun crime, they let him go after a year or two. They tell him. They say, we'd rather be caught by you cops with an illegal gun than by our rivals without one. My thing is, declare them what they are. Urban terrorists. Terrorists. That means that they go on the same list that ISIS is on and Al-Qaeda. They get observed and checked and everything else. There's no fly list. Spied upon. And you get them the hell out of this society. If you use a gun in a crime, you're gone for 5 years. You know where? To Guantanamo Bay. You get out and you do it again, you go there for life. Get them out of the gene pool. All they do is come out and they procreate more kids to grow up in the same society. So I hope that's the kind of thing we're going to see.
Joe, we thank you for your call and enjoy the best day of your life. He said it.
He's gone. I hope this isn't the best day of Joe's life.
Well, you don't
I
know
hope.
Joe's life.
Oh, all right.
Maybe it is.
All right.
Conversely, BJ, jump in. Oh. BJ
is
hung up.
Now it's the best day of Joe's life. Because the opposition hung up before they could state their point.
Well, and here's what we're going to do. We're going to let people talk. We all have our own opinion. And let's have a discussion. Let's not just say, you're an idiot, you're wrong. Matt, go ahead. You're not an idiot. You're not wrong.
Not
What's
yet.
Your opinion?
Let's hear what you say first, and then we'll make that.
No, and I'm going to be very civil because I know that this isn't actually political talk radio. All right. Joe, I will start out by saying that if this is the best day of your life, I'm sorry for you.
All right, you just took Joe down. I thought you weren't going to do that, Matt.
No.
He believes. Let him believe.
Here's the thing. America is not a business. It is not.
Parts of it are, but not all of it.
Yes, but he is treating, in the respective callers, I'm trying to do this.
I know you are, and you're doing a good job.
In the respective caller's position, he is lumping in the business with the humanity portion of running a country.
Yeah, it's not the same.
I tell you this, America is not a business. It is a nation full of people who have different mores, who have different societal reasons for doing things. I'm not saying America's in the greatest shit that it's ever been in. God, no. There's a lot of things we can work on. Back to being civil, I can do this. But you can't run America like it's Amoco or BP. You can't do it. There are people who need certain things more than other people. And the only people that are going to be lining their pockets for the next four, God help us, 8 years, are the people that are the big wigs in these corporations. I'm trying very hard not to be anything but civil. Anyway, you guys have a great rest of your day and Godspeed.
Thank you, Matt.
Thank you, Matt.
Yesterday, they were running on CNN. They were running snippets of an interview that Donald Trump did a couple months ago, and they had asked him a question. I don't know the journalist's name. I wish I did. Had asked him a question about our debt to other countries. And Donald Trump, much like our last caller was saying, would say that you have to run it like a business. So what you do when you owe people money, and he said, I've done this in the past, and I'm very successful at this, is I renegotiate that debt. If I owe them a certain amount of money, I say to them at some point, I'm not going to pay you that amount of money. I'm going to renegotiate that debt. And then experts came out and explained how you cannot do that
you
in
sign
government.
A contract and you make
well,
deals.
That's the way that most of us have done business, but that's not the way that Donald Trump has done business in the past. They agree on a price, and then at some point he says, hey, I'm not happy with this or I don't like this. So I'm not going to do it. I'm going to give you a portion of the money back. So he said in this interview, he didn't hold back at all. He said that the way that I've done it in the past in business, that's the way we're going to do it with other countries. We're going to renegotiate those debts. And then a panel of people came on and went, no, we're not. We can't do that. That's not the way you do it. That's the way he wants to do it, but that's not the way it's done.
Well, he has other people that hopefully will step in.
Bill and Wendy, just a quick update, just to let you know, the Obamas have departed the Capitol. They have now boarded a helicopter and are headed
to Canada.
Kim, could you hear
to
this?
Palm Springs.
Could you hear this phrase?
I did. I saw his head spin around three times.
Right. If you noticed after Donald Trump's inaugural speech, when he went to shake hands with President Barack Obama, who's still president for 17 more minutes, right?
Oh, is he? Yeah.
Isn't the power...
Does
go
at
noon.
At noon. I didn't know
that's
that.
That's what
maybe.
I thought. Right. But he said, I mean, I wasn't listening to it. He said, good job. He yeah. mouthed it. You could totally say that. And he did do a good job in that speech. He did stick to his script, which really helped.
Yeah.
And we'll take your calls, 312-981-7200. Jan, what would you like to say?
Oh, first of all, one of your callers said something about we aren't in such great shape. I think if you would study the economic predictors right now, you'd find out that we are in pretty great shape. So that's number one. Number two, no. I mean, if you study business, you find out that there was always an ugly underbelly to business that had to be corrected by laws to give people, you know, shorter work weeks and
right.
all that kind of stuff. So business has not been altruistic of its own. we have some companies that operate altruistically, but mostly it's like, how much can I make and how cheap can I pay you in order to make that profit? So, yeah, I didn't hear him say it was the best day of his life. It's not the worst day of my life, but it's certainly not the best.
All right, that's fair. Thank you, Jan. Appreciate it.
It's such mixed emotion. Somebody wants to fly their American flag upside down today.
A protest flag. You know, one of the strangest things throughout this entire campaign, and he ran on this as firmly could be, was not just make America great again, but he kept talking about how we were in such better shape not long ago, and now we've really fallen into disrepair. And there are a lot of problems in the country. Don't get me wrong. There's so many problems in the country. Immigration, healthcare, the list goes on and on and on and on and on. But we are better than we were a couple of years ago. We were in terrible economic straits a very short time ago, and jobs have rebounded. I know everybody doesn't have a job. I know there's people who are underemployed, if not just without work. I get that. You're never going to have 100% employment, but we really rebounded really, really quickly. And you can look at other indicators like the housing market and car sales and the stock market and gas prices and so many things that have really been so positive in the last 5 to 10 years. So the fact that he ran kind of on the platform of, boy, this country's gone to hell in a handbasket and I'm the guy that's going to get you through that, almost went unchallenged. Nobody was saying, hey, the image that you're painting of this country is not very accurate. Things have been going pretty good. Again, not for everybody and not as great as we would love them to be. But the last 5 to 10 years have, 5 years in particular, have really put us on a good path, I think.
And I don't know if we can give Barack Obama credit for all that either. It's not just one person.
It could never just be one person.
And it is 12 o'clock Eastern time, hence the swearing in. And sorry about that. I thought we had 15 more minutes of Obama.
Nope.
Take a break. More calls?
Yeah, please. 312-981-7200 if you want to call or text in. We would love to hear your thoughts on what happened today, what you heard and saw. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
All right. It's Bill. It's Wendy. It's 720 WGN. And it's Lester who has called us at 312-981-7200. Hey, Lester.
Hi. How are you?
Dazed and confused.
Yeah, well, I'm not confused. I tell you, it was a good speech. And like you said, it's good that he kept to the speech than going off on a tangent somewhere, as we've seen before. But I'm just hoping that at some point, all the people on both sides will just stop with the garbage. You know, we have seen just 3 days ago, somebody's whining about President Obama's birth certificate. It's a non-issue,
right?
At this stage, you know, there's so many. Instead of throwing mud at the other side, I've seen so much of that. I'm just so disgusted with the people running our country, and quite frankly, some of the citizens here. Let's stick to the issues. There are so many issues going on in this country. I've run my own business for 6 years. And I've never had as rough a time as I've had the last two. And I'll tell you what, whoever thinks this country's in better shape than it was 2 years ago, countries go through recessions. That's a cycle that happens, and it eventually comes out of it. You could debate all day whether President Obama helped it or not, but the truth of the matter is our jobs are gone, our middle class is shrinking, our health care is a disaster, and somebody needs to start addressing issues. One word, issues. And whether it be Trump, if he don't let these Democrats hold his feet to the fire in a good way to get some work done, instead of just trying to my way or the highway, the executive orders, all this crap that has got us nowhere. And that's what's got to happen in America. We got to deal with the issues so we can start solving some of these problems. Our children used to be the best educated on earth. That's no longer the case. I could go on another hour.
No, Les, you don't
have
to do that.
You're doing a great job, though.
You've made a good point. But
oh, hell yeah.
But the numbers do show that unemployment is in a much better place today than it was 4 years ago.
Well,
you know that.
It's a cycle. It's gotten better. But look at how many people you know that are working two jobs with no benefits. The thing is, the middle class isn't getting better.
No, the middle class is evaporating.
No,
there's no question.
Yeah, and the thing is, you can't have everybody working for minimum wage. And the thing is, You know, all this is, everybody I know thinks that the economy's getting better is a bunch of crap. I mean, you can, the numbers, you can make it say whatever you want.
Yeah.
But people are working harder nowadays just to keep their head above water, whether it be health care. I mean, the problem is that for the last God knows how many years, big business is taking on more and more. They do what they want. And because of the campaign donations, which are so ridiculously, I think it took $1.3 billion to get Obama elected.
Right.
And I'm not blaming him.
Yeah.
But because of that, how many millions of dollars in preferential legislation has gone through? How many big businesses get away without paying their fair share of income taxes?
Lester, do you believe that the campaign reform that you just spoke of, where they should limit the amount of money spent on the political campaigns, do you see that as a reality? Do you think that'll happen in the next 4 years?
I don't know that it'll happen in 4 years, but I think we have to work on the smaller problems to get to that.
All right.
Because there has to be reforms in five different areas of our country. Obama had a great idea with this health care, but they didn't go about it the right way. And it's like a Ponzi scheme. There isn't enough money to pay for it. And you know the health care companies, the insurance company, they're finding a way to profit. And I really believe that President Obama really believed that he was really trying to do the best
sure.
he could for America.
Of course.
I'm not blaming Obama for everything, you know.
Right.
But the system needs to change. And the thing is, the one thing about Trump is he doesn't owe anybody any favors. And so we have, if the Democrats start getting real constructive along with the Republicans and make this guy stand up to his promises, it could really set things going for the next four presidents. And I may not be around to see it, but my kids and grandkids sure will be.
Well said, Lester.
Got to start somewhere.
Lester, I hope
Thanks
it gets
for
better
the call.
For you. We appreciate your passion.
Oh, well, I mean, that's what it's all about.
True.
Thank you so much.
Thanks.
What did he say? Hell yeah.
I think he did say that, yeah.
Hey, guys, our new president is tweeting from his @RealDonaldTrump account.
Didn't take long.
No, three tweets already. The last one, 20 seconds ago, the forgotten men and women of our country will be forgotten no longer. From this moment on, it's going to be #AmericaFirst.
I like it.
An idea he alluded to in his speech.
Anybody's clothes or what they were wearing or anything like that, they're pretty much little clips from his inaugural speech.
All right. That's good news.
I'm hopeful, you guys. What else can I be?
You know, at some point during the speech, he said, we must speak our minds openly. But this is a guy that when the news has done that about him, he has condemned them and said that you're a fake news source. If a show like Saturday Night Live makes fun of him, he has ripped into them that the show has gone downhill. It's not funny anymore. So even though he's saying you got to speak your mind openly, when people have done that about him, he has said very nasty things about them.
What is it? Do as I say, not as I do. Isn't that the expression?
Yeah. Yeah. So there were a couple of things in the speech that if you looked at him, you said, well, this is kind of ironic coming from him. But again, today's speech and every inaugural speech is an idyllic version of what America could be, should be, and hopefully will be over his presidency. So it's just a matter of wait and see, isn't it?
I got everything crossed. My fingers, my eyes, my toes, my hair.
I know.
I mean,
I know.
That's all I got.
Yeah.
So, all right. And kudos to Steve Bertrand, who did a fine job monitoring the whole
inaugural
events.
Steve did a great job. No surprise there. And I love the passion of our last caller. Lester was his name. Maybe we need more of that. You know, maybe we've all been a little too complacent for too long of just, well, let's hope for the best. I like a guy who says, you know, we need to make things better. We do. We need to make things better. Things are good, but could always be better.
And he said the Democrats and Republicans need to come together
sure.
and handle the issues. So
sure.
I hope Lester runs for president next term.
That would be nice. That would be very nice. All right, we'll take a quick break. Steve's got the Wintrust Business Lunch coming up in just a little bit. We'll check in with him. You know, we're all handling Inauguration Day in different ways. Kevin's way, I think, is the most interesting, don't you?
Yes, I do. Comfort food?
Yes. But can you
really?
Guess what it would be,
guess.
Kim? Guess what it is. What do you think Kevin has been eating nonstop all day? Can't stop. Every time you look at him, he's got it going. What do you think he's eating?
Well, it'd be something that's snacky.
Right.
Potato chips or popcorn?
No.
Well,
that's a good guess. I am a big fan of those.
Not far
off.
At
first I was going to say lobster rolls, but then when you said eating nonstop.
He is, it's...
Well, it's not really comfort food per se, but it's comforting him. Would you agree with that, Bill?
Right. 100% true. 100% true.
M&M's?
Close.
You're getting so close.
Is it chocolate?
Think
no, but it's in that
jelly beans.
Closer,
jelly bellies.
So
close. Sours.
You're so
right around it.
You're so close.
Sour Patch Kids.
You could not be closer.
Gummy worms.
Yeah, gummy.
Gummy everything.
Gummy everything.
Just gummy Trumps.
Gummy
Trumps.
It's a conglomeration?
Conglomeration.
They only sell orange ones.
So yes, Gummy Trumps would have been the way to go for Dylan's candy bar, by the way.
How awesome would those be?
Because then if you liked them, you would eat it. If you didn't like them, you would eat it.
You bite it harder.
Right. But you got a whole plethora of gummy items.
Yeah. Now, you know, I didn't think of it at the time as comfort food, but you're probably right.
It is.
It makes me happy.
It has to be.
So what do you have? Gummy brains?
I got gummy brains, gummy sharks, gummy cherries, and gummy bears. So it's a whole happy marriage going on in there.
Tell everybody what you spent on this.
Ooh, I don't want to talk about it.
You don't want to talk about it?
It was close to $10.
When you could have gotten a full bag at Walgreens, like probably
a
dollar
always
each.
Has gummy on sale,
you
always.
You don't get the happy mess of different gummy creatures.
No, that's true.
They are making more gummy creatures, those Haribo people.
Yeah.
They really are.
Not just bears.
No, there's gummy peaches, which you've gotten, which aren't that good.
Are
you've seen that
me?
Gummy rat,
hey, guys,
right?
I don't want to spoil the candy talk, but I just want to kind of give you a heads up.
Sure.
Along the parade route in Washington, there are a lot of protesters.
Yes.
There have been some broken windows. Their police are standing there in, I would say, close to SWAT gear. They've fired pepper spray back at protesters. So this is a developing story, and we'll let you know what goes on with that. Steve will keep you covered.
This was one of the biggest fears for everybody, was that at some point this would get a little bit out of hand.
Not cool.
It's looking like it.
Yeah.
You know, they're
that
kind
is
of
not
throwing
cool.
newspaper machines into the streets and garbage cans. So it's getting a little rowdy.
I was a little surprised that during the inauguration itself, there really was no shouts of any kind, no opposition. I was sure that that would happen at some point, but it didn't, which seemed like a good sign at the time. But as Kim just pointed out, things have gotten a little bit more daring there on the route. So,
and that was, you know, the people coming to see him speak. There were so many people that supported him that I think if there were any protesters, it would have been drowned out immediately.
Probably.
But not cool. I mean, protesting, you have a right to say, I don't agree with this decision. Again, as we've talked about yesterday, it's not going to change anything.
Right.
But
right.
when you start resorting to violent acts or just unruliness, that is just not cool.
No, I know. I know. And the bulk of these, they're going to go on throughout the day and into tonight. And then the big one in Chicago is tomorrow. And in other cities, right? They're mostly
250 other cities, I thought. Or no, maybe I didn't read that right. We had that information yesterday.
I don't know if it's that high.
No,
that seems a little high.
They were expecting.
I think you shouldn't confuse what's going on in Washington now with the marches tomorrow.
We're not.
Right.
But, and that is a good point to bring up. But right now, this is people who are protesting it.
Yeah.
Tomorrow's are hopefully not going to resort to violence, and I don't expect they will.
Yeah, let's hope for the best on all counts. All right, a couple of things that you need to know about the show. Bello Knock will be with us at 1:35. Bello is a clown at Ringling Brothers Barnum & Bailey Circus, which announced a week ago that it's closing up. He's the first person I thought of when I heard that the circus was closing down. Both you and I saw him years ago, and he's incredibly talented and knows the history of clowning in the circus like nobody I've ever spoken to before.
But you know what? He'll be okay with the circus closing because he is a name. All the unnamed, unknown clowns.
Right.
That sounds stupid to
Send
say.
Send in the unnamed clowns. Remember that song?
But I mean, the people who haven't had a huge reputation like Bello, really, where do you go besides radio, as you pointed out?
Right. If your talents lie in the spinning of plates or the climbing of wires or something like that, I don't know what your next job is. That's a concern, right? So we'll talk to him about that and about his career and why the circus is closing, his thoughts on that. That's at 1:35. Kurt Wagner at 2:05. I have to tell you this. I forgot to tell you this. Last night I saw La La Land, and not to jump on a bandwagon, but
you don't like it.
Loved
it. Okay, good. So did I.
Loved it.
I thought it was fantastic.
You know what I kept thinking? Like when it was over, and I don't want to give too much away. It's not a movie for everybody. I think a lot of people probably would just look at it and go, eh. But I loved it. For the last couple of years, I kept asking myself, why am I not seeing movies that wow me? What's going on? I go to movies all the time, and I've loved movies my whole life. And every year, there's always three or four or five movies that just knock me down and go, that's a movie right there. That's a movie. And it's really been a couple of years since that's happened, and I keep wondering, why am I not experiencing the same thrills watching a movie that I used to? And this movie, from the first minute to the last minute, had me, and I loved it. I just thought it was magnificent.
I watched it with probably 10 people, and I and maybe half of one other person liked it.
That's it?
Yeah, I loved it.
What was the difference? What did you see in it that they weren't seeing?
I love musicals. I loved the romance of it. I loved the musician end of it. And I loved those two crazy kids that I fell in love with together.
Emma Stone and Ryan Gosling are the two leads in it. And boy, are they good. Singing, dancing, playing the piano, everything. They're amazing. A couple quick things. Number one, the color palette of the movie, it's got a certain color tone all throughout it. It's very, very bright, shiny colors and used to great advantage throughout the movie. The other thing that's really cool is if you look at the major songs in the movie, especially the first one, it's all done in one cut. It's not a series of cuts. It's just one long take. And I have no idea how you do that, especially in that very first dance song on the highway. I can't figure out how that's done in one continuous shot. And there have been movies, Alfred Hitchcock made a movie called Rope that's all one shot, start to finish.
Was Birdman like that too, or no?
Birdman was kind of like that. There's a couple times, and actually in Rope, I have to be honest with you, there's a few times where as the camera's panning, it focuses on something for a second, and then they kind of rearrange the shot and continued. So it's a little trickery there. And maybe they did this yesterday in La La Land, maybe, but I couldn't tell.
But here's the thing. You being a former film student and being into movies way more than me, A, I didn't know that, and two, I can't see the difference.
Well, it's weird. Maybe it's kind of subliminal because I noticed it about 20 seconds in. I'm like, wow, they just did that whole long, there's like a sweeping shot of the highway and the cars. And I go, that's weird if they did that whole, and then it just continued and continued and continued.
I loved that.
And there's so much going on in that big long scene. It's like a 4-minute scene, all one shot. It's
I'm doing that on the Outbound Stevenson today.
Today, song and dance on roadways.
I'm dressed for it.
But if it's one of those movies that you're kind of on the fence on, like, oh, I've heard good things about it, but I don't know. I recommend it. Like I said, it's not for everybody. I'm sure there's a lot of people that'll watch that movie and go, what are you talking about? That's not great. I loved it. I was crazy about it.
I really enjoyed it
my
own self.
La La Land. All right, let's take a quick break, and then we have a lot more show. Bill and Wendy, WGN. It's Bill Leffen. It's Wendy Snyder. We're telling you about... Earlier, we were talking about the inauguration and several people calling in. There have been some incidents along the parade route today. So if you want to dial us up, we're at 312-981-7200. Call us or text us.
And I want to say, too, I think it's not actually on the parade route. It's near the parade route, right? They're keeping the protesters, I think, a bit of a distance away.
Oh, okay. Thanks, Steve.
Love this text. Looting, throwing rocks, and 90 arrests. Your hatred rhetoric is working. Keep up the good job, you guys. Listen, I have not been hateful at all today.
I think you just can't look today.
Yeah.
You just can't look.
I just want everybody to think on their own. What's going on, Dave? Dave, what's up?
Oh, how you doing, guys?
Hi, Dave.
Well, since the election, I stopped listening to you guys and stopped watching news completely. I don't like Donald Trump, this way he talks and everything, way he pissed people down. Like a lot of people say, a lot of people voting for him is... unstated white man and everything. No one in it. We had a family get together, and some of the family members talking like this and that and everything. And I just got upset. I go, you know something? A lot of jobs in the past is going to all the white guys. White man is union job working for the cities and everything. You know, now it's changing, and they don't like it and everything. I just get the aggravated stuff, and these people protesting. Protest. Like, our countries about it. We could protest if we wanted to. But don't start throwing stuff in the street, breaking windows.
I totally agree with you. I think we both do. It's just, it's not cool.
It waters your message down. It does. It makes you look like a thug, and there's no reason for that. Protest all you want. It doesn't have to be crazy.
People texting you say it's your fault. It's not your fault. They're reporting things. You're just talking about things. It's not your fault. You ain't say, oh, go out there and protest, break windows, throw newspaper, do this and do that.
I believe you and I were, not to discourage anyone from protesting tomorrow with the Women's March, but we were unclear as to what you would gain from doing that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, we're not.
It's their right to protest if they want to protest.
Sure, of course. But Dave, thank you.
Act like human beings. Act like Americans. Show it all the countries and how we protest, but not throw things, break windows, burn buildings. The only thing that does is, you worry about the taxes. That's the only thing it does, make you pay more taxes. We've got to fix up the neighborhoods again, build new buildings. And, who's going to pay that?
Right.
Us.
All right.
Citizens.
Dave, thank you for calling. Did you see people on Facebook were floating around this video, I guess, of a kid, I would guess 12, 13 years old,
who started the fire,
and they're like, why are you doing it? And he's like, screw the president.
Yeah.
Okay, that's not the right way to be, but he has the right to do that. And people are like, that kid should be shot. Put that kid on medication. Like, what about the parents? It is a free country to do what you want. I'll admit I was a little shocked when he did that. Like, isn't it illegal to start a fire in the middle of a public place?
Yeah, it didn't seem like the safest thing to be doing right then and there. I'm not sure what.
But I hate all the hatred.
Yeah, I know.
I hope we can move forward, and I don't know if we can. Dale, what about you?
Yes, I love your guys' show.
Thank you.
First of all, three things. Today, I feel like I did back in 1963 when Kennedy was assassinated.
That badly?
We have no president.
Yeah.
I don't consider him my president, which everybody will say, oh, that's so bad. But he hasn't shown that he's presidential.
Right.
Okay. Number two is this investigations that are going on. Okay. Everybody's afraid now that he's president, he can go in there and say, you know what? I'm going to squash all these, investigations. It's not necessary, this and that. If he does that, what I would urge people to do is to file a class action lawsuit against the president for obstruction of justice.
But you're reacting before anything happens.
Yeah.
Don't you think you'd be better off waiting to see if that happens rather than being all worked up about it now?
Okay.
You know what
now,
I'm saying?
Tell me.
He's been president for 2 hours.
Okay. Now, tell me that if you don't think that will happen, can anybody sit there and say,
I don't think that he has the ability to just stop the investigations.
I know there are a lot of presidents who would. I know there are a lot of presidents who would have liked to have stopped investigations of themselves. So I don't know about that.
It is a wait and see. Oh, go on.
Well, then what they could do is keep going with this investigation, because the American people have to know if he had any ties with Russia. And that they have to know this. They have to investigate it. And no matter what comes up, it's only for the American people's benefit to know if their president is a crook.
Yeah.
Now, we've heard that one before, didn't we?
Yes, we have. We definitely have. Well, Dale, as Steve said, right now it's only been words. It's conjecture as to what kind of a president he'll be. I guess, in fairness, you do. You have to just kind of wait and see what the next moves are, don't we?
And you
we?
Don't have to like them. You certainly don't. But, it's happening right now.
Well, the thing is, and who was that? Wait a minute. Who was that guy that called about he had a business? What was his name?
I don't know. That
on
was
today's
earlier.
Show?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, he's talking about, my business has been, good in two, Lester, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, here it is, Lester. you know, maybe, you know, instead of, you know, people saying, well, you know, I have a business and, you know, it's just with the government, you know, it has been very, very bad. And, you know, I haven't had this and that, you know. Well, you know what, Lester? Maybe it's not the government. Okay. Maybe it's the person that's running the business.
That's true. All right, Dale, we thank you for calling. You've had enough airtime, quite honestly, because, you know, Lester has the passion like this last listener
right.
did too.
Absolutely.
I'm sick of this. I broke up fights between two tortoises this morning.
Over this?
One was biting the other one's neck
because
when it was
of Donald
food time.
Trump being the
I
president?
I don't know, but I'm sick of breaking up
you
fights.
You should never get tortoises that one's a Democrat and one's a Republican. You know that.
I didn't know it when I got it.
I think the tortoise march is on Sunday.
It's tort reform, Steve. That's what it is. You know that. All right. We need to take...
Stop it, everybody.
That's why Steve Dale should be the Secretary of State.
I'd vote for him.
I did vote for him. All right. We'll take a quick break. Steve has the news, and then there's more show. Stay here. Bill and Wendy, WGN. Well, a week ago, the announcement was made that the Ringling Brothers, Barnum and Bailey Circus... was ceasing operations. No more circus coming to town.
After 146 years.
Incredible that this would ever happen. Inconceivable. And the first person I thought of is easily the most talented circus performer that I've ever seen, and probably of our generation and beyond, Bello Nock, and he joins us now on the telephone. Bello, how are you?
Doing great, doing great. Thank you for such a great introduction.
Well, I mean it. I'm sure you won't remember this, but years ago at another station, you were in town with the circus, and I got to interview you. And after the interview, you and I talked about a man named George Carl for quite a long time. Do you remember that by any chance?
Absolutely. I sure do. Sure do.
And who is George Carl for those of us who weren't there at the time?
Bello, take it. Who's George Carl?
Right. George Carl was an American performer. He was born in another country, but he was a comedian that pretty much did, when it came to the world of circus, and you have all of this unbelievable amount of stuff going on, someone who gets in the cage with tigers, the flying trapeze, the globes of death, all these objects and big grandiose. He walked on stage in a suit, and he did about 10 minutes of just trying to adjust the microphone stand, getting caught up in the cable, and everything, and nothing went his way. He never said a word. He took his hat off. He bowed and accidentally hit the microphone. His thumb stuck in the hat. After it was all done, you couldn't breathe from laughing so hard, and really, he did nothing.
He was amazing, Wendy. Toward the end of his life, he was on with Johnny Carson a couple times, and Johnny Carson was hyperventilating. He was laughing so hard at George Carl.
Yeah.
Amazing.
He was one of the masters in our business who took, he perfected doing nothing.
Yep.
But it took him a million hours of practice to do that.
Bello, the same job that Wendy and I do 4 hours a day, nothing. We wouldn't be able to do it if it were not for George Carl.
Well, thanks.
Well, Bello, I have a couple of questions. First of all, when we were talking about when the news came out that the circus was shutting down, closing the flaps on the tent after 146 years, both of us were shocked. This is something you never thought would go away. Now, I know the circus took a hit when they could no longer use elephants, but I like the elephants at the circus. I tend to think that they were taken care of. Did you see any problems with elephants when you were there?
Absolutely never saw anything. No misuse, no misbehavior, absolutely nothing. I always like to make sure that everyone understands who's speaking, okay? Seven generations of my family have made a living in the circus. My daughter is a Guinness Book World Record in an art of circus, 20 years old, so an eighth generation. So we are passionate about it. But no one in my family, not me or anybody, has ever had skin in the game. I've never owned an elephant. We've worked alongside of them. I love them. I appreciate them. But I've got no skin in the game. But saying that, if I ever saw one iota, even a hint of mistreatment, I would have been the first whistleblower. I would have been the first person to scream, stop that, or, you know, call the police. You know what I'm saying?
Sure. Yep.
So this really wasn't a victory for animal rights activists, because I bet they're feeling they took the circus down since the elephants were gone.
That is very correct. I do not give this as a victory to the animal activists at all, because I'm a very, you know, for those of you who are listening who don't know me or remember, I am a comedian, but I'm a daredevil. So mm-hmm. I love to have a good time. I'd never take myself so serious that other people don't. But my life is walking high wires and getting shot out of a cannon and doing death-defying stunts. You can't try to do something like that and think it's or hope it's going to go right. Everything has to be meticulously thought out and perfected, okay?
Mm-hmm.
In answering your questions, there's a couple of things. The Feld organization said that they had seen a steady decline over the past 10 years. And then they saw a large, or they saw, you know, basically it was the end, the nail in the coffin, whatever you want to say, but only this last spring, so 9 months ago, they took off the elephants. They had been seeing a steady decline in ticket sales over the past 10 years. Now, I can tell you, I mean, this is not all about me, and I'm not, you know, like most entertainers only want to talk about themselves.
Mm-hmm.
About 10 years ago, my last show on Ringling Brothers was in 2006, and in 2006 was Bellobration. We hit Chicago. We went coast to coast, border to border. Still to date, it's record attendance and highest grossing show in Madison Square Garden and Ringling's history in history in the past 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
So we had great shows. In 07, they made a conscious effort to, I'm not going to say remove, but they said, we're not going to feature headliners anymore. No Gunther Gable Williams, no Mark Oliver Gable, no Bello Knock, no David Luribe. We're going to, and they just went down a different avenue. And it's not their fault. They hired a very large, a very expensive company to say, tell us what the people want. And what they decided was to go down and they started telling stories. They said, we're going to make the circus the theme and that the star, almost like of Cirque du Soleil. When you go to see a Cirque du Soleil show, Cirque du Soleil is the star, and the name of the show is the star. When you leave there, you may have your favorites, but you're never going to know anybody's name.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
The problem with that is for 130 years, Ringling Brothers was all about the exotics from around the world. You had to buy a ticket to see this one-of-a-kind performer. Otherwise, you're going to miss it. The last headliner they removed was the elephants. So, yes, they saw even more of a decline.
Yeah.
It was an overall thing over 10 years. It was not just the elephants. They're a big part. They were wonderful.
Yeah.
But they was only a part.
Bello, Kenneth Feld, the man who's been running the circus for quite a long time, said it's kind of a victim of the times, the circus is. There was a time where it would come to your town and there was some wonderment, but now because of the internet and video games, kids just have a different attention span. Do you agree with that?
Let me tell you, I worked for Kenneth Feld and his family. I have a huge amount of respect for him. I'm going to tell you, I tend to disagree on this one or say that it's partially right. Because if it is, I mean, now, okay, let me make sure there's a couple avenues.
Mm-hmm.
Circus has been challenged. Circus has been around longer than Ringling Brothers, and circus will be around longer than Ringling Brothers, okay?
Yeah.
So they are a circus. They are not the circus. Circus had been challenged when the newspaper came out, TV, color TV, movies, CGI, the apps and iPhones. So it's always going to be. And now VR. It's going to be challenged. All that means is it needs to change with the time.
Sure.
Here's what I would say is, listen, there are circuses out there that are still doing great business. Some of those circuses have elephants and some do not, or animals.
Yeah.
There are some of those circuses out there that don't have animals that are struggling, or some that do. So it's not a given. If you have your pulse on the, or your finger on the pulse, and you can react and react to what people want, then you'll have success. I disagree with him because He is still, Feld Entertainment is still the largest provider of live entertainment. So if they're saying that technology is the problem, then why do they sell millions of dollars and millions of tickets to
review shows?
Tours of Monster Jam,
oh, yeah.
Arena Cross, Motor Cross, Sesame Street Live, Disney Live, Marvel Universe. So they're still out there producing shows.
Right.
I think what happened is, as a very large company, there's two thoughts to this. We saw this with the auto industry in 08. Sometimes we feel that large companies are too large to fail.
Mm-hmm.
That's not true. Some things just get very expensive to do, and in the fact of the Felds, they wanted to provide a very quality show. They wanted to provide what they thought the audience wanted. The problem was with that is it was very expensive. They are business people, and it was probably costing them more money than they were making. And they just decided to make a business decision.
Well, it's a sad one, certainly. I know you agree with me on that. Let's do this. We'll take a quick break. Bello Knock is here. You probably know him from his signature look, the incredible hair.
I had hair like that in the 80s, Bello, and I forgot how to make it that big. Can you give me some tips later?
Absolutely. Foot-tall hair of mine, I put Viagra in my shampoo.
All right, hang on a minute.
We'll talk about that and other things. If you want to jump in, we're at 312.
Order me some Viagra, Kevin.
981-7200. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
Oh, my darling, not three times on the ceiling if you want me.
Bello Knock is our guest. I'm not kidding around when I say this. If you're going to go somewhere and watch a guy do the unbelievable, Bello Knock is your best bet. Bello, I have to ask you, because I've seen you perform twice with the circus, with the Ringling Brothers Barnum and Bailey Circus. You do things up on the high wire and on trapezes and stuff. And I say to myself, I wouldn't be able to pull that off for a second. You don't have any fear in you at all, do you?
You know, I replace fear with respect. So, you know, there's two different types of fear. There's the fear of the unknown and the fear of what you of the expected, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So, yep.
If you were in your house and the lights went out and you had to find the exit, you would know roughly that there's no stairs. There are stairs. You know how you would know roughly where to go, even in pitch black.
Yeah.
I was in your house and not know, you know, wouldn't know your house, pitch black. There's the fear of the unknown. So the training that goes into what we do when no one is looking is the most important part.
That makes total sense.
Sure.
Total sense. I took my boys, who are now teenagers, to the circus here in Chicago when you were there, and I think it was the Bellobration. Bellobration, what did you say it was called?
Yeah, Bellobration.
That's it. So that was fantastic, and there's a listener, Barb, who also wants to comment on how wonderful you are. Barb, is Bello.
Yes, hi. Were you in the Red Apple Circus about 18 years ago?
I was, but thanks for giving away my age now. Yes. Apple Circus is out of New York City, and it's America's premier European-style circus in a tent, one ring, very different than Ringling Brothers, and it was basically the inspiration to Cirque du Soleil, that tent style. But, yes, we played Chicago, and where did you see it?
The Arlington Heights
racetrack. You know what? Let me tell you, there's nothing like playing Rosemont and the United Center downtown with Ringling Brothers. But playing in that area, I mean, I love Chicago. I grew up there. My wife is from the Wisconsin Dells.
Oh, wow.
Did you marry one of Tommy Bartlett's daughters?
Pretty much. Listen, I worked at Tommy Bartlett. My family has provided entertainment and produced shows there for 40 years.
Oh, my God.
And she lived across the lake, and when I was a little kid, I saw her, and, you know, the rest is history.
Aww, that's sweet. Well, Barb, there you go.
Okay, I also want to say I saw George Carl on one of those Johnny Carson movies.
What'd you think?
Yes, hilarious.
Hysterical.
Hilarious.
So funny. Thank you very much, Barb. Have a great weekend.
Thank you. You too.
Bello, I have to see if this could possibly be true. when I was a kid, once a year, once every other year, there'd be a show here in town called Disney on Parade. I'm looking through your bio, and it says that as a three-year-old, you were in the Dumbo scene in Disney on Parade. Did you do that here at the Chicago Amphitheater? Because that's where we used to watch it.
You are good. Yes, I did.
Wow.
So, man, you do some research and some memory on you. You know, I got to tell
research,
you.
Research, it's all in his head, Bello.
It's in my head.
I have lived an unbelievably blessed life, and if I went through my resume and told people, some people would think I'm Baron von Munchausen of going, you know, what, are you going to tell me you're a doctor next? But I'm one of the few people that have worked at the Big Apple Circus and Ringling Brothers. There's a lot of unique stuff because I headlined Ringling Brothers for 8 years from 2000 to 2008. My parents came to America in 1954 from different countries. They met on Ringling Brothers, got married, and had four boys. And I'm, you know, then 50 years later, I headline Ringling Brothers.
Wow.
So it was really, really amazing. But yes, as my first job, if you can imagine, I traveled the world with Walt and Roy Disney. I toured with Roy Disney. I, as 3, 4, and 5 years old, I greeted Mickey Mouse at the airport whenever he went on a press junket. I was the little kid that greeted him.
Wow.
And then at 6, 7, and 8 years old, I was little Michael Darling on Disney on Parade, and I also was in that Dumbo circus of Disney on Parade. So from Broadway to, you know, show business has been my life. That's why I'm so passionate, and I'm so sad and upset about the news about Ringling Brothers.
Absolutely.
And, you know, we got to thinking, I mean, you'll do fine. Obviously, you're a seventh generation circus performer. Your daughter is now eighth generation. But what about a lot of the performers who worked exclusively with Ringling Brothers? Where are they going to go?
Okay, another a whole lot of information here. Most circus performers, I'd say 90% of them, are free agents and private contractors, and they sell their talents to different circuses. So they come, whether they come from America, from China, you basically look for work, or agents look for you and make up a team and make up a circus. Some people are fortunate to have extended contracts with a company. Most of the time, there's a beginning and end date to the circus performers of your contract. So with Ringling, it was a 2-year contract. Lately, they started doing 4-year contracts. With the Big Apple Circus and most of others, it's a 9-month contract, maybe a year. Now, they had up to 400 and 500 employees on the two units of Ringling Brothers. Obviously, you need the pilots, the people who pilot here and pilot there.
Mm-hmm.
You need the train car, the restaurants, the cooks, the managers, the riggers, all the people that go with it. They, most of them, the Feld organization is so big and such nice people that they will make sure most of those people will get absorbed or offered positions in other aspects of the company, right?
Mm-hmm.
The performers. Is this a little bit of a shock to them? Yes, but that is the nature of entertainment. Even a Hollywood star, hey, when they say I'm on hiatus,
yeah,
they're out of work.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
So there's nothing different from a performer. Now, when you say I'll be fine, listen, I'm a very motivated, optimistic. I had for the past 4 years, 3 times I've had a sold out show on Broadway at the New Victory Theater in New York. I travel around the world performing, but I tell you, I still have to, like a businessman, go knock on doors and sell my talents.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the whole thing. No matter if you are a person who has nothing but 3 juggling balls and a red nose, or if you're the guy who has the 26 tigers, or if you're me who produces shows or death-defying stunts, or Ringling Brothers, Kenneth Feld, and they own this, you know, billion-dollar industry, the audience, how do you say, the audience votes by buying a ticket. You know
That's
what I
it.
Mean?
Sure.
Right. That's how they show their support.
Yes.
And any show could be your last. You never
yeah.
know.
That's, oh, and especially in this industry. I mean,
yep.
You get it wrong. You know, if I have a lot of musician friends, and if they hit a wrong note, there's a sour note. If we hit a wrong note or get it wrong, there's more than a wrong note, right?
Yeah.
A friend of mine, Richard Gere, came to see me on Ringling Brothers and the Big Apple, and he said this every time. He goes, when I do something, I have to wait 9 months later to see if I get it right.
Yeah.
When it airs and I can see the film and I see it live, the reaction from the audience, I'll know if I got it right or not. He said, you can tell instantaneously.
Yeah, that's true. Way to name drop, by the way, Bello.
Nice pull
we're
on Richard Gere. That was beautiful. very nice.
You can go to BelloKnock.com. That's his website. Under construction at this moment, but he'll get it up and going soon. I have a question for you. What are kids going to say when they get mad at their parents now because they can't say, I'm going to run away and join the circus?
Yeah, okay. You know, Ringling is a circus, not the circus. Here is something that we have to make sure. There's a couple of things. Sometimes you have to lose something to find it.
Mm-hmm.
If we've lost, or in May we're going to lose the greatest show on earth, maybe it needs to, circus needs to take that hint and refresh. Maybe it needs a reset button. I know that everyone in the industry is going, okay, let's pay attention. I will say this, if you have your favorite circus out there, no matter what it is, if it's a small youth circus, if it's a professional circus, a shrine circus, Cirque du Soleil without animals, with animals, whatever it is, moms and dads, take the kids to the circus.
Support
and kids,
it.
Don't forget to take your moms and dads to the circus. But go support a circus. Now is the time where we need you, and let's not lose more circuses.
Great advice. Bello, it's a pleasure to meet you.
Thank you so much. I will tell you that I'm doing my best to keep it, you know, on the pulse. I'm going after to save because the Big Apple Circus in New York filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy, and I'm trying to save that one. And if I can nudge Kenneth Feld, I was texting him this morning,
yeah,
to try to reboot and hit a reset button, by all means, I'm going to do it.
Well,
excellent.
Let us know.
Keep us posted, Bello. Have a great weekend, and thanks for joining us. We appreciate
it. Thank you guys so much.
The great Bello Knock.
Love him.
Seriously, one of the best performers I've ever seen. Amazing. Does incredible things. We'll take a quick break. Steve has the news, and then there's more show. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
Thank you, Steve. Can we talk television?
Yes.
I need a palate cleanser.
Absolutely.
I don't like politics, and now I hope, since we have a brand new president, that we can stop talking about politics.
All right. Let's make a pact.
At least for a while.
That's the weirdest thing I've ever heard.
The next 20 minutes, we will try not to discuss politics.
Hi, Kurt. Kurt Wagner's here. I keep
Kurt
wanting
Warner,
to call him pop football.
NFL great Kurt Warner joins us right now to talk football. Kurt, how are you?
I'm good.
Don't talk politics. Wendy's had enough.
All right.
That's easy. Let's talk about Will and Grace. Some good news for Will and Grace fans. Spill the beans, Kurt.
They are going to do a revival, limited revival series of 10 episodes on NBC with all the original stars, the original creators, and television legend James Burrows, who directed all of the episodes in the, you know, in the 8-season run of the original show, will come back to television to direct these.
Am I imagining things, or was that a pretty popular show? I didn't watch
huge.
It very often. I really,
really
didn't.
Funny. Really
it was
funny.
It was a popular show. 1998 to 2006 it ran and won 16 Emmys, was nominated.
Wow.
For Emmys.
Yeah. Kurt, a couple months ago, the cast, the four main cast members and then one or two other residual cast members came back and they did like a 10-minute episode, a mini episode because of the election, because of what was going on politically. And I said at the time, because I watched this 10-minute episode, and I said, I'd be shocked if everybody said, wow, we gotta do more of these. And they are. So good for everybody.
Yeah. And good for you for predicting it.
I was hoping. I really liked the show a lot. Now, what about this? And I'm sure you're aware of this. I think with the last episode of Will and Grace, they kind of do a flash forward, and Will and Grace did not remain friends. But now in this 10-episode arc, they are friends. So what happened?
And the finale, the show jumped ahead 20 years, and they reunited for the first time after 18 years.
Right.
To move their children into college, into their dorms.
Yeah.
And that was supposedly set in 2026. I am not sure what they're going to do and how they're going to solve that problem.
Right.
But apparently the new 10 episodes will be set in current 2017. So that sort of screws up that.
That timeline?
Yeah, that timeline. So, but I don't know how they'll fix it somehow.
All right. Does Fuller House have anything to do with these remakes? Because they came back, and weren't they like the number one downloaded show on Netflix,
Very
which
popular.
Still blows my mind?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if that necessarily if it was just Fuller House, but, you know, the X-Files came back. A lot of things like Prison Break's coming back this year.
Yeah.
So
it's can't wait till Lost comes back. I wish.
It'll be called Found.
Now, in this case, with Will and Grace, Kurt, all four of the main stars look like they haven't aged a day. I don't know how they do it, but when I watched this little mini episode they put out a few months ago, it looked like it was like right in line with the rest of the shows, that nobody got older somehow.
Yeah, I don't know. They're just living right, I guess.
And it is a big thing having James Burrows directing the episodes again, because that guy is immensely talented. If he touches something, it turns to gold. So that's good news.
And I don't know that he's done a lot. I thought he was sort of semi-retired, but yeah. Maybe yeah, they are making a big deal of the fact that he's coming back to direct. So,
You can always go to TVShowPatrol.com because Kurt does a great job running his website. And then you would find out that one of my favorite shows in the whole wide world, it has been renewed. This Is Us.
Oh, yeah. I didn't know that. Have we talked about that? I didn't know you liked that show.
Oh, I absolutely love that show. I told Bill you haven't watched it yet.
Not yet, but it's on my list of things to see. So it's coming up.
Kurt, I was late to the... Kurt,
I was going to say the big twist in that renewal news is that they renewed it for two more seasons instead of just one.
Oh, they're very confident, and that's good news.
I'm telling you, and I was late to the This Is Us party because you had talked about it, Kurt, and there was one weekend that I completely just binged the whole thing, and it is really an awesome show. I hate using that word, but it is. So two new seasons coming up for This Is Us on NBC. Very excited.
When you watched that all at once?
I did.
Yeah.
You can do that, right?
I cried a lot.
Did you cry a lot? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That is the weekly cathartic TV moment, I think, that show.
It's really awesome. Bill, you would love it.
I'm going to see it, I promise you. They're remaking, speaking of remakes, they're remaking Beaches.
Yeah, that's on Saturday night. The old Bette
Midler.
Yeah, and this time it has Nia Long and Idina Menzel in it.
Idina Menzel was on the other night on Stephen Colbert, and she said she's been getting hate mail from people saying, you cannot remake this movie. We love you, but this is not a movie that should be remade. Is that possible? Would people bother to send hate mail over this?
Well, was it because they hate the movie? Or
no, they're saying you can't improve upon it, that it can't be made better.
Oh, okay. Well, I think it probably could be made better, but... I don't know that this will necessarily do it. I have not seen it, but I do love Idina Menzel.
That's coming on when? That's this week, right? It's going to show this
tomorrow
week.
Tomorrow night.
Oh, tomorrow night?
My nieces have been planning for this. They've been Facebooking each other. Are we going to your house or my house? What are we ordering to watch it?
Watch the new Beaches?
Yeah. And,
that'll probably be a nice Kleenex moment, too.
Yep.
I don't think I saw the original Beaches.
Going to be on Lifetime.
Why? Julie Andrews wasn't in it. I know you avoid anything with Julie Andrews.
Somebody wants to know, since we're talking about remakes, of course, the big news with Will and Grace, when are they remaking Car 54, Where Are You? Because they want to tune in.
That'd be great.
Did you text that, Bill?
I did text that in, yeah.
Was that Bill?
Yeah, I sent that in. We'll take a quick break and then more with Kurt Wagner. He is the wind beneath our wings. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Kurt Wagner's here. He's got a great website, TVShowPatrol.com. If you like TV, visit it. It's TVShowPatrol.com. Kurt, I know I ask you this every week, but does Netflix have any series on about fur trading?
Yes, they do.
They do?
Finally, the answer is yes.
Every week you say no. This week I'm shocked that they finally have a fur trading show on. What is it? What do we need to know?
And it's actually not bad. I was just watching. I just saw the first episode.
Why?
Stars Jason Momoa, the guy who played Khal Drogo in Game of Thrones.
He's Aquaman, too, isn't he?
Yeah, and he's also Aquaman, you're right. And anyway, he plays this sort of half-Irish, I don't know what the other half is, frontiersman in 1700s Canada.
Yeah.
And he's challenging this big fur trading company, this British fur trading company, the Hudson Bay Company.
Oh.
He's challenging them and their territory, you know, like he's trying to break into the fur trade and get people to trade with him instead of with them. And so there's all this fighting going on. And
you can imagine.
Yeah.
That's what happens during fur trading.
The fur trading business, Wendy, is volatile. We've talked about this.
It's a Canadian Western, I guess you could say.
Oh, all right. And did you enjoy the first episode or not?
I did. I liked it. And I read a review that they had seen several episodes, but apparently it gets even better.
Good.
According to this reviewer, yes.
All right. Well, I'm mad at both of you.
Why?
You and Bill.
Why would you be
Kurt,
mad at us?
Because a listener had to text and tell me that Miguel Ferrer died.
Oh, yeah.
And he was only 61 years old. I know him from Twin Peaks. A lot of people know him from Crossing Jordan, Miami Vice, RoboCop.
He's been around. He's in a movie based on a Stephen King short story called The Night Flyer, which is really scary. If you ever come across that movie, The Night Flyer, with Miguel Ferrer, watch it. You'll like it.
Huh.
Well, he was most recently on NCIS Los Angeles as assistant director Owen Granger, and he continued to work even after his cancer diagnosis, and I guess they wrote his illness into the plot of the show.
Oh, did they?
Yeah, they had him. He was sick this season, and then in the most recent episode, I guess his character was stabbed and in the hospital.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
oh, well, that's terrible. That's very sad. And also, he is George Clooney's cousin, right?
First cousin.
Yeah.
Yes.
No, I didn't know that either. Yeah, and he was going to be in the Twin Peaks revival. I don't know if his stuff was filmed already or not. But
I remember seeing his name back that he had signed on to do that. So, oh, that's too bad.
Maybe they already filmed it. Who knows?
Maybe. That could be.
I'm hoping.
Kurt, should we be nervous about this? The Star Trek new series called Star Trek Beyond, they pushed it back, they pushed it back, and now all of a sudden they have pushed it back again. That's usually not a good sign, is it?
Well, they pushed it back because they had too high of hopes. I think it's actually called Star Trek Discovery.
Oh, is that it? Sorry.
The new ship is called Discovery. But, you know, they originally announced it, and it was like, there's no way they're going to get this done in 4 months. They haven't even cast any characters. And then now they've cast a bunch of characters, but they pushed it from January to May, and now it's going to be later than May. But I don't think that we should necessarily worry. I just think that we should understand that there's no way they can pull this off.
You know, to be fair, I said it's not always a good sign when they do that with a TV show, but they did that same exact thing with Westworld over on HBO. They keep pushing that back and further and further and further, and then when it was on, it was really very entertaining. So,
right. Well, and this will have, just like that one, a lot of special effects and everything. So, you know, that takes a lot of time beyond even what the actors are doing.
All right.
But they're getting together a pretty good cast for this. The latest casting news is that James Frain will play Spock's father.
Sarek?
Michelle Yao.
Proud of yourself?
Yeah, kind of.
Anthony Rapp and Sonequa Martin-Green, who's in Walking Dead, and Doug Jones are some of the people who are going to be in it. So I think I'm still excited for it. It'll be on CBS All Access on their streaming channel.
All right, speaking of The Walking Dead, they lost my husband. I will tell you, the violence at the end of last season, just sound effects were something that made me sick to my stomach. And then at the beginning of this past season, episode one, was stuff that I didn't need to see. I decided to look past that. My husband bailed. But now other people have been complaining about some of the violence on this show, correct?
Right, and especially that killing scene that was hinted at the end of last.
We did not need to see it.
Or
Bill?
Hear it.
Well, they were saying, a lot of people said that it was possibly the most violent hour of television
ever.
And if you saw it, you know there it was pretty graphic. You had to have a very strong stomach to get through that episode, no question.
Well, and Gail Ann Hurd, who is the executive producer of it, spoke this week in Miami, and admitted that after the reaction to that opening, that season opener, they were still working on some episodes from the first half of the season. They toned down the violence beyond that in reaction to that. And the big quote, I saw the story in Variety, the big quote in there was that this is not a show that is torture porn, she said, and that they wanted to, you know, we don't want to cross that line, and so they went back and re-edited.
So now, instead of cannibalism, is this true? One of the characters has a hangnail in one of the episodes, and someone has sort of bad acne? That's what I'm reading. Is that true?
I think maybe that's probably it.
Right.
I have to tell you, as someone who's watched that show from the beginning and is totally into The Walking Dead, it's like when the very first time I saw the walkers, I was disgusted with the way they were taken out, the way they looked. Then it got to a point where nothing fazed me. It's like, you know, they're ooey and gooey and falling apart more.
They're like chocolate chip cookies.
But it doesn't bother me. But there was a scene in the first episode.
You knew and cared about getting
it was gratuitous.
Dismantled, and it was hard to watch that kind of.
Well, I think it's harder than when it's the humans who aren't.
Right.
Yeah.
Without
zombies,
a doubt.
Right? Because the zombies are supposedly dead already anyway.
Right. So will all the characters have Bactine now? I hope they all carry Bactine. You just spray that on your ouchie and everybody's good.
Ouchie.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. That's not an ouchie. It's a hurt like hell.
Is that what that is?
Yes.
I don't know.
Kurt, we love talking to you, and we can go to your website where and how.
On the internet, and it's tvshowpatrol.com.
tvshowpatrol.com with Kurt Wagner. Kurt, thanks very much. I hope you have a great weekend.
Thank you. You too, guys.
Take care. All right. Well, let's take a quick break. We've got news coming your way next, and then more show. It's Bill and it's Wendy on WGN.
Who's the one who's overacting there?
There is a kid in there who's
cold
overacting.
Cold jelly and custard.
Right. One of those orphans was trying a little too hard, Wendy. Let's be honest.
I came across something. We all like to eat.
Oh, yeah. I eat every day.
Good to know. We have been pronouncing words, food words wrong.
Oh, I hope that's not true.
Well, I know that there are several. I would like to start with a word that, food word,
yeah,
that I've been saying wrong my whole life, thanks to my sister.
What is it?
It's a little potato dumpling, and it's spelled G-N-O-C-C-H-I, and we have always called it gnocchi.
That's what I have also said. Is that not right?
It's supposed to, I guess, be gnocchi.
Gnocchi?
Yeah.
I'm not sure that's right. Are you sure?
I am, according to this.
I've heard waiters and waitresses at Italian restaurants we frequent say the gnocchi is very good today.
I'm going to continue saying gnocchi. It is not gnocchi. Some people do say it that way.
That's not it.
There's another dish that you can get in an Italian restaurant. And
lasagna?
That you're saying
that right.
This is on toasted pieces of bread, and it almost looks like a pico de gallo, but it's an Italian version of it. How do you say it?
Appetizer.
No. B-R-U-S-C-H-E-T-T-A.
Bruschetta.
That is the incorrect way.
It is?
C-H is a K sound in Italian, so it would be bruschetta.
I've never said it that way.
You've been saying it wrong.
Not bruschetta.
Yep.
No wonder they don't bring it to the table. Say it wrong.
Some of these are obvious. Who pronounces that beef lamb mix together that you put tzatziki sauce on?
Yeah. Gyro.
Very good.
Gyro.
I guess they say with a Y.
With a more Y, not H?
It's not a gyro.
I say it like H-Y-E-R-O, like gyro, like H-Y-E-R-O.
Well, they're saying it's Y-E-E and then Rokan.
But
gyro.
Oh. But do you remember, like, when they came into prominence, like, gyros have been around since the beginning of time, but when we were kids, all of a sudden it was new and people would see in the windows and they'd go, that restaurant sells gyros.
I know.
But they're not gyros.
People still say it. There's just a pretty funny episode of the Goldbergs where Jeff Garlin and his wife were very excited to go to a Chi-Chi's because they wanted to try the steak fajitas, which he called them. And then she goes, you know, you're going to put that tortilla in your hand, you're going to wrap up the fajita, and you're going to shut up.
Yeah.
Who really says tortilla? That's on this list.
I've never heard anyone say tortilla. But fajitas, now... One of my aunts married a man who grew up in Mexico, and he said that fajitas are one of those foods that even though we think came over from Mexico, it was strictly an American thing.
Can't
find them
in Mexico.
They don't exist. Yeah.
I didn't know that. We've got a gnocchi pronunciation. Hi there, Kristen.
Hey, Wendy and Bill. How are you guys doing?
We're doing well, Kristen. What do you know about this?
So we're an Italian family. My grandma was born in Italy, and we have always said gnocchi.
That's how gnocchi. I always hear it that way.
That's what we say, too. And
yeah.
My friends think I'm pretentious when we go out to dinner, and I'll say, you know, I'll have the gnocchi, and they go, oh, gnocchi.
Yeah.
That is how you say it.
But we do say bruschetta also.
Oh, so. You do.
That's correct.
All right. And you're winning that battle. Well, thank you, Kristen.
Let me, since you're Italian, let me get another take on this. We'll put you against Bill to see if you pronounce this correctly. Are
right,
you ready?
Winner take all.
Uh-oh.
All right. It's the very red thing that you put on top of the whipped cream on an ice cream sundae.
Cherry.
Right, but what kind of cherry?
Oh, go ahead, Kristen. You start.
Maraschino.
I would say the exact same, maraschino.
That's what I have said my whole life, and I just found out that it, much like the bruschetta, it's a maraschino.
No, it's not.
That's what they're saying.
I have never heard it like that.
Uh-uh.
I haven't either.
This survey is out to make you look like a fool.
No, it isn't, because this S-C-H bruschetta is pronounced with a K sound. Why wouldn't it be maraschino?
No one's. I've never heard that. Kristen, ever? You're from an Italian family,
either.
Ever, right?
Never.
No. All right.
I'm going to go out and ask for a maraschino cherry
in
my Shirley Temple later tonight. Kristen, have a great weekend. Happy Friday to you.
Thanks so much, guys.
Bye, bye. Kristen. So is it Pinocchio? How do you say the
Pinocchio.
Disney puppet? It's Pinocchio?
It's actually Pinocchio, isn't it?
Is it?
Not Pinocchio.
Wow.
I don't know. I have more of these.
Right. So far, I think we've gotten one right out of six.
I thought I knew how to say all these things.
Well, what's the Italian food that you... There's some Italian food that you pronounce differently from everybody else I've ever heard. Is it... you know what it is? It's musta.
I knew you were going to bring that up. Again, my sister has done this to me.
This
Please,
is my prediction. Is it going to be muscacioli?
No.
Oh, I know people who say muscacioli.
No, we're Italian, so
really?
Muscacioli. As opposed to mustacholi.
No, I don't know anyone else who calls it that.
Well,
but you.
It's the I-O is the aw sound, because like a lot of people say Giovanni, but it's Giovanni.
Yeah.
So mustacholi.
All right.
But I know. I'm the only one
so
that
your
says
sister
it that
instructed
way.
That that's what
she
it
took
should
Italian.
Be. Oh. So, where'd she take them?
You kill yourself, don't you?
Sometimes, yeah.
All right. I have some more for you. Bertrand, if you're in on this, you can participate, because I know you're a foodie as well.
There's prizes, okay. Steve. There's
Ooh,
prizes.
Okay, muscacioli?
No, I've never heard anybody say that. I mean, other than trying to be cute.
Right.
All right, this is kind of a fish-based soup.
Bouillabaisse.
What'd you call it?
Bouillabaisse.
Are we competing here? I didn't
yes.
get that. Bouillabaisse.
Bouillabaisse?
You're both wrong.
Oh.
No, we're not.
Yes, you are.
Chowder.
It's bouillabaisse.
No, it is not
yes,
booyah
it
best.
Is.
No, it's not. Who says that?
You booyah best.
Booyah best.
They, there's
Z-Ross.
The ESPN soup.
According to 22words.com, booyah best. There's no L you're not pronouncing, and it's not bays. It's
I've
best.
I've never heard anyone say that, and I've eaten in some 2.5-star restaurants, and even they... Even they say we have bouillabaisse on the menu today.
What kind of website lends only 22 words? What was it?
22words.com.
Yeah?
Somebody had this on their Facebook page and I stole
right.
it.
I don't think that's right.
I do. I took French.
Yeah, all right. But why wouldn't you pronounce the L in that? The L is...
Because they're two and they're two. They so cancel each other out.
It makes them invisible. All right. I'm going to stop ordering it.
Give me another one.
All right, well, wait. Dan wants to jump in. What did you want to talk about, Dan?
Well, down here in Peoria, I'm wearing a pair of, I guess, chino pants?
Yeah, chino pants.
The chino pants that I bought up in Chicago.
Because of maraschino. I know.
That's why.
In Chicago.
Right.
Oh, Chicago. Okay. Thanks for the clarification. Bye.
Thanks. You're welcome.
Thank you, Dan. All right, you ready for this one's easy. I don't even want to give it to you. You'll both get it right.
Pizza.
No, it's Pisa. Mm. It's a type of berry that is not a strawberry
acai.
Or a blueberry, and there's an extra letter in there.
Is it acai? Is that the one we're talking about?
Oh, no, that's on here, too. That's acai. That's how you pronounce it.
No,
that I know for a
that's
fact.
That's pronounced easy, not acai.
A berry with an extra letter in it?
Yes, it's not a strawberry. It's also red.
A ghost
it's sweeter.
Berry?
No.
Raspberry?
Yeah. Do you pronounce the P in it when
Never.
You say it? I haven't either. Raspberry.
They say you're supposed to say raspberry.
No, they're saying you're not supposed
okay.
to.
Well, who Good. Does?
I don't know. All right, another Italian thing.
Yeah.
It's a type of cheese, but usually used in a dessert.
Yeah.
Ricotta?
No, that's a good guess.
Mascarpone?
Yes.
I would say mascarpone as well.
It is mascarpone.
Oh.
Actually, that's totally wrong.
That can't be.
Wait,
right.
Listen to what they say. This makes me hate this website, 22words.com. Boycott it. It's fake news.
Fake news.
They say the wrong way to say it is mascarpone. The correct way to say it is mascarpone. There's no way. Mascarpone. I guess there is no R in there at the beginning.
That's Mrs. Scarpone.
and her husband, Pascarpone.
Right.
Mascarpone.
Call the Carponis. See what they know about this.
There's no R in it. Go look it up on a website or on a... And if there's an R in it, it's wrong. It's spelled mascarpone. Yeah. So
you're saying there's no R in mascarpone?
Not at the beginning. It's M-A-S.
And then the art comes later on.
Yes, so yeah. Mascarpone.
Hmm.
We've been saying this wrong.
Interesting.
How do you
I did
say
not know that.
A type of, I guess it's in the line with coffee or cappuccino, but it begins with an E.
Espresso?
Espresso?
Oh, yeah. How did you say it, Kevin?
Espresso?
One more time?
Espresso?
Yes, you've said it right.
Well, how else would
you sounded like espresso.
You put me on the spot here.
How else would you say
a
that?
A lot of people say espresso.
Really?
I've heard it.
Maybe they're in a hurry. If you're in a hurry, that's when you order it.
You got to pick up the kids, show the laundry, et cetera.
Steve, right. Haven't you heard people say it wrong?
Espresso?
Yeah.
Probably, yeah.
I have.
Espresso
I've
over
heard
espresso.
So many people say that. There is no X in it. Espresso.
All right. This one, we have discussed this one in the past, but when we were kids, an alternative to ice cream was what we all called sherbet. That was what we all said, sherbet. There wasn't anyone who said anything else.
I said everything
you
else.
You said sherbet?
Yep. That's the
without the R?
That's the proper way, by the way.
But I don't know why when you look at it, it is spelled like sherbet. So why did an entire nation take it upon ourselves to call it sherbet instead of sherbet?
More fun to say.
I guess so. It is.
I thought it was spelled like sherbet, but
no.
Pronounced sherbet.
No, it's spelled S-H-E-R-B-E-T, so you'd say, because it's a variation on the word sorbet. It's just, you know, it's an alternation of sorbet, but why did we all decide sherbet is the way to
Didn't
say it?
Didn't you think also it was Welsh rabbit?
Yeah, yeah.
As opposed to rarebit.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, I have more. Can we
Bugs
take
Bunny.
A break?
Yeah. All right, we'll take a quick break and then more of this. If you want to jump in, we would love to hear from you. Is there a food that you or we have been pronouncing wrong? 312-981-7200, Bill and Wendy, WGN.
All right, we're talking about a list of words that people say incorrectly.
These are all foods, correct?
Yes, food yeah. words. That sounds weird, though,
food
to say
words.
Food words. All right, there is a type of root-like vegetable. I bet Kevin's going to get this. And
does it start with an R?
No.
Oh,
were you thinking rutabaga?
Yeah, I was.
This starts with a J, but it's not pronounced with a J. Do you know what it is?
Is it a staple in Mexican restaurants?
It could be.
Is it jicama?
Yes. Kevin, how do you think you say it?
Jicama, yeah.
I would go with jicama, too. We're all wrong. It's jicama.
No, it's not jicama.
Why wouldn't it be?
I guess, yeah,
the
in Spanish,
I would
the
be
I.
an E sound.
Yeah,
so it's jicama. We suck.
Now, again, I've been to so many Mexican restaurants where they talk about the jicama salad. Not a single person.
They're wrong.
They are?
It's jicama. You don't have to stress it that much, I guess. You would sound stupid. Jicama.
No, I'm going to. I'm going to say it exactly that way from now on.
I would like a salad. Excuse me. I would like a salad that has jicama and maraschino cherries.
All right. Let's see if that works.
Hi, Mac. How are you?
Hi, I'm good.
All right, do you have a food word that we might be saying wrong?
I don't know if it's said wrong or not, but back in the 1950s, Pillsbury brought out a number roll called a crescent roll.
Yeah.
And here about 20 years ago, we decided we can't call it that anymore. It has to be a croissant.
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 No, it's R turns into W, so it's croissant.
Croissant. But you're right. We weren't cultured when they first came out. We were not cultured enough to say the French pronunciation, so we Americanized it into crescent rolls.
Well, why do we call it? Why do we call it Des Moines, Iowa, but it's Des Plaines, Illinois?
Right.
And that should be Des Plaines. It shouldn't be Des. You just spit it.
I got excited. Des Plaines.
Let's all call it what we want to call it, long as we get it and it's good to eat.
So true.
Agreed. Thank you, Mac.
Thanks, Mac.
But now, to be on the proper side of things,
yes.
A crescent roll here derived from the croissant
without,
in France.
Without question, yeah. Or croissant. Without croissant.
You spit on me again.
I get excited.
All right. We have to go back to the maraschino cherry. And Tony wants to talk about the different dialects in Italian food. Go ahead.
Yeah, so I'm cracking up here driving home from work just because it's great. We all say these words differently. But, like, the official Italian language is actually from Tuscany. So Tuscan is the actual dialect of Italy, which my family's from. And it's funny when we pronounce these words differently because you go to the different regions in Italy, you got a lot of different influences, you know, where they speak the language completely different.
Sure.
So I think a lot of times you have the immigrants, majority being Southern Italian, Sicilian, that came to the United States. So sometimes the words get changed up there. And then once they come to the States and they start speaking their language, they got a little lazy with the language. So kind of like when you're talking about mascarpone, we just call it mascarpone. Or even if you go to The Godfather, reference The Godfather, think about how many times he said, Don Carleon. You know, they do that purposely just to show the difference in the dialect. And
they cut off the last syllable. Like, you know, capicola is a type of Italian ham, and they say gabagol.
Gabagol.
Exactly.
So
exactly.
If the last syllable is a vowel, that's the way they do it. If the last syllable is a consonant, they don't. But if it ends in a vowel, then it gets
Although,
cut
except
off.
For pizza, because they don't just Pete's. Say Pete's.
Let's have some Pete's.
Right. Well, it's funny, because my last name, if I can say it, it's pronounced Gruppi.
Yeah.
But when you say it fast, it actually sounds like Gruppi. So the proper way to pronounce it is actually... Gruppy, you're putting the excess on the second syllable, the accent on the second syllable, as opposed to saying grappy.
Right, that's you know Chicagoized.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So how do you say gnocchi?
So you say, I often say gnocchi, but you got to say it fast with that syllable, that excess syllable on the second syllable. So when you say gnocchi, but when you say it fast, it's gnocchi. See?
I'm confused.
It's subtle, but it's there. It's very subtle.
It's there, so... So I think the proper pronunciation is gnocchi, but people don't say, hi, like a bowl of gnocchi. They say, like a bowl of gnocchi.
Right. You know? So it like, he, like come on.
You. Right.
All right, Tony, tell me, since you're Italian, have you ever heard a maraschino cherry called maraschino? Because I have never heard that.
Well, the reference to that would be, I had a buddy, right? And he was asking me what pepperoncinis were. And I said, what are you talking about?
No, pepperoncini.
Pepperoncini. Exactly. So he goes, oh, okay. So that's the way I could probably relate to that one. But no, I don't pronounce it that way.
Yeah, I've never heard anyone say maraschino cherry.
No.
We should call Italy.
We should call the maraschino company and see how they answer their phone.
Let's do it.
I'll call them.
Well, can we do it on the air maybe Monday? Because we're almost out of show.
All right.
Have a great
day. Thanks, Tony.
See you, Tony.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it. Bye-bye.
You got gnocchi and mahikama.
Bless you.
Nobody ever says that.
All right. What about I think it's rice wine stuff that you get if you go out for sushi and it gets you drunk. And if you go to Benihana, they squirt it in your mouth.
Yeah.
Do you know what that is?
Yes.
How do you say it?
Blanking on the name.
It's S-A-K-E.
Oh, sake.
Allegedly, the right way to say it is sake.
Are you sure?
That's according to 22words.com.
All of these are fake.
I think that one is true, sake. Yeah.
Sake.
I've never heard anyone say that ever.
Let me see if
remember
I
remember Jack Kay, the actress?
Yes, I do, Mary.
Was sake her alter ego?
Yes, it was. She was on 227.
Where did she go? Where's
I don't
Jack
know.
Kay?
She was very talented.
All right, we need to take a break because Ro and Anna have a show of their own, you know. We can't hog up all the airtime, so they'll be by. They'll tell us what they've got on their show next. Bill and Wendy, WGN.